Please be seated. I know I've told you this story before, but it really doesn't matter because it always fits in so well with today's gospel. The story is about my time in seminary at Suwanee. One of the last things you do in seminary is to take the general ordination exams, the GOEs, as they are called, God's only exam, as we called it. It's kind of like the bar exam for a priest. It is a comprehensive test over your time in seminary, and it's very intimidating. For weeks before the exams, you read through old tests and texts and papers and notes without a clue as to what the questions are going to be about. And then on the first Monday of January, at the very same hour, every Episcopal seminary student in the United States is given the same questions at the same time, and we sit down for a grueling 5-day, 8-hour-a-day process to somehow determine if you're fit to be a priest. We were asked to write about things like the evolution of Christian initiation and its relation to the Eucharist using ancient documents like the Didache, the Didascalia Apostolorum, and the 3rd century writings of Hippolytus. Seriously. One question gave us certain texts of Scripture and asked us to analyze and compare the theological implications they provided on the topics of wealth and violence. We had an 8-hour question on the moral, ethical, and scriptural implications of cloning, stem cell research, and life-extending technologies. Sounds like a great way to kill a week, doesn't it? But then it was Friday. Friday, the last day, and the very last set of questions. And this last set of questions is really a series of questions called coffee hour questions. You still have no idea what they're going to be, but they're designed to be questions like you might ask me at coffee hour. And they're supposed to reflect our ability to think on our feet. It included things like divorce and the death penalty, September 11th, and the concept of evil, you know, current event type things like that. And then came the very last question. And I had 15 minutes left until my time was up. I cannot adequately express to you how I reacted to that last question. I could feel my blood pressure rise. I couldn't believe the question, and I was fit to be tied. After 5 days and nearly 40 hours of exams, the last question was simply, "Who is Jesus Christ?" I think I was so mad, first of all, because I was tired, and also because it seemed like such a silly way to end this challenging exam. Who is Jesus Christ? Now give me a break. I'd been in seminary for 3 years, God's school for God's sake, and it seemed sort of insulting, almost like busy work, that these examiners chose to use this as the final question. But I only had 15 minutes left, so I started thinking about what these examiners probably wanted me to say. You know, certain theological words that showed that I'd been awake in class at least part of the time. So, who is Jesus Christ? Okay, second person of the Trinity, God incarnate. I needed to talk about the theology of redemption and reconciliation and maybe throw in something about substitutionary atonement and so on and so on and so on. I'm sure that's what the examiners wanted to hear, and they probably did, but I couldn't do it. I thought the question was ridiculous. So, in my fatigue and anger, and reflecting probably less than good judgment, I wrote down 3 simple words. He's my Savior, period. Test over, I turned that puppy in and headed to the nearest Suwanee pub. But the truth is, that question that riled me so is exactly the question that Jesus asks his disciples in today's gospel lesson. And I can't help but wonder if his disciples maybe felt a little bit like I did during the GOEs. First, Jesus wants to know what other people are thinking. Who do people say that I am? He asks. Okay, Jesus, that's easy. They don't have a clue. With all that's going on, they think you are everything from John the Baptist to a prophet. Okay, Jesus says. And who do you say that I am? And even though Scripture doesn't tell us this, I've got to believe that there was a pause there for a minute before Peter answered. I can just picture the disciples thinking to themselves before they respond. Maybe even some of them thought it was a silly question. I mean, after all, they had just seen Jesus heal a Canaanite woman. They'd seen him walk on water, and he'd fed 5,000 people with a little bit of bread and some fish. They knew who he was. And I'm sure some of them thought, okay, this is a test. I wonder what I'm supposed to say. I wonder what he wants me to say. But here comes Peter. Peter's got the answer, doesn't raise his hand. You are the Messiah, the Son of God, Peter proclaims. Period. Test over, let's head to the nearest Caesarea Philippian pub. But this simple answer pleased Jesus and provided Peter the keys to the kingdom. A couple of months later, when I actually got my GOE scores back, I had scored the highest possible score on that selection of coffee hour questions. I guess the examiner didn't realize just how much of a smart aleck I was trying to be with that last answer. But in light of today's gospel, maybe I wasn't as cute as I had intended. Because I guess if Peter's simple and direct answer was good enough for Jesus, then my simple and direct answer ought to be good enough for a bunch of test examiners. And it occurred to me that maybe the answer to who Jesus Christ is really is that simple and direct. But today's gospel tells us that it's only a foundation. And we all know that a foundation doesn't serve much of a purpose until something is built on it. And that's what I believe is important for us to get from today's gospel story. Because so much of modern-day Christianity thinks having the right answers, like Peter, is good enough, or at least most important. But we tend to overlook the fact that Jesus asked two questions that day. Jesus first wanted to know who people thought he was. And maybe for us today, that first question is the more important one. Because we live in a world that in so many ways is no different from that first century world. It's a world that continues to struggle with the question of who Jesus is. A world that hungers for more than just words. A world that longs for something beyond ourselves. And we are kidding ourselves if we think what we have to say to a hungry world about Jesus is good enough. Who Jesus was for those disciples and who Jesus is for us today is not a test of words or something we merely recite in creeds. Who Jesus is an experience of God's unbounded love for all of creation. And how we respond to that experience, that's the true test. Because how we respond is the way a world that struggles with the question can come to find their own answers, not by what they hear, but by what they see. It's where the world can see and touch, and more importantly, be touched by the living Christ that exists in each and every one of us. It's the means that goes beyond words and by which something of substance can come to be built on that foundation of faith. The answer to the question, who do you say that I am? That's not up to us. It's an answer that's revealed to us. But the answer to his question of who do people say that I am, that's entirely up to us. It's entirely up to us as a reflection of God's continuing revelation to humanity. Think about that. You know, I've always been convinced that if Jesus had been one of the GOE examiners, that he would not have allowed that last question on the test. Of course it's important for us to be able to articulate who we believe Jesus to be. But I think there would be something more important that he'd want any of us as ministers in his church to come to know. And it's what I believe his disciples came to understand that day in Caesarea Philippi. So here it is. If Jesus was one of those examiners, this is what I believe would be Jesus' final general ordination exam question. Because of how you live your life, because of the things you do, because of how you love and care for other people, because of the things you say or that you fail to say to each other, because of how kind you are, or those times that you forget to be kind, because of the way that you forgive and are able to put the past behind you, because of the way that you receive grace and the way you extend that gift to others, because of all these things and the person that you are, who do people say that I am? And that, my friends, truly is the test of a lifetime. God love you. Amen.